Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for today's consideration is recorded in Paul's letter to the Ephesians, the 5th chapter, verses 8 through 11, where I read as follows in Jesus' name. For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the light is found in all that is good, right, and true. And try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. This is our text. Friends in Christ, yesterday, as I was walking back from chapel to Hunze, I overheard a conversation going on behind me about some exciting ventures coming up in the future. Some people were talking about the possibility of having a couple dozen students go over and study in Vietnam. And as you may know, our president is trying to do a bunch of recruiting to bring international students here. So I thought that was interesting. Decades ago, when I was a college student, Vietnam was the last place you wanted to go. And then one day I woke up and there I was, Vietnam. A helicopter pilot flying night missions along the Cambodian border. It was pitch black. You were warned not to go into Cambodia, but you could not see the Cambodian border. It was indistinctly defined down below. But all you could see was the red, eerie light within the cockpit instruments that were kind of reflecting and contrasting against the darkness outside. There were radar-guided weapons, so you're supposed to stay clear, but how could you stay clear? You couldn't see the border. You could not see where you were flying, even when you went and picked up some of the Vietnamese who had been dismembered by various IEDs. There they were eerily in the back as you came into a strobe light. You were tempted to lose hope. You could not see. How were you to live in such conditions? Sounds a lot like the world that we live in, doesn't it? And this text answers these three questions. How can I, in this dark world, see, hope, and live today? The biblical depiction of this world uses that metaphor again and again and again, that this is a dark world. In Isaiah, all people are, quote-unquote, walking in darkness. And then there's the darkness within or on darkness. Cultural elites then and now trying to confuse, using Isaiah's words, calling evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness. What is called enlightened morality is really sin. Verses earlier, Paul describes the godless as those who, quote, walk in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the, what, ignorance that is in them. We are all like this by nature. The world's imminent destination, hell, another place of darkness, created first for the fallen angels, and then by default, sin's default for us. Peter writes about how those angels were cast, quote, down to hell and delivered into chains of darkness. And so how can we really see truth in this fallen world where our own heart, to cite Joseph Conrad, is a heart of darkness? In this Lenten season of our Lord's Passion, we realize that Christ is the only one who can open our eyes to truly see the light, which is to say, to see what is truthful and what is not. In the gospel, Christ, by the Holy Spirit, has given all of us light. The Apostle John says that Jesus is the true light which gives light to every man coming into the world. This is not a Gnostic light. The great critic, Harold Bloom, calls the true great American religion Gnosticism. This is not a Gnostic kind of a religion where one looks within oneself for truth. We cannot find truth or salvation within ourselves. In fact, we are called here to look outside of ourselves to the incarnate Christ, who alone as light and salvation and by his suffering and by his death, his bloody death, brought to us salvation. The evangelist Matthew quotes the same passage of Isaiah that I quoted earlier, but he adds Christ to the picture. The people who sat in darkness, what? Have seen a great light. This is the promised Messiah. Paul writes this text to Christians, reminding them and reminding us that they and we too have been made to what? See the truth in Christ Jesus in this dark world. Here's what Paul says. For at one time you were darkness, but now, by your conversion, by your believing in Christ, you are light in the Lord. Light is, of course, a contrastive metaphor, declaring in poetic language that Christ has overcome the darkness of sin, death, and the devil in our lives by the sweat, tears, and blood in his life, and especially on the cross. The how can we see question is answered in Jesus Christ, who also answers the how can we hope question. No matter what sins you and I have committed, no matter how dark our days may appear to be on this earth, in life's veil of darkness, Christ is our basis for hope always because of his promises, and God cannot lie. Your sins may be a scarlet or dark night, but by Christ's suffering and death, you are made pure, snowy white. That kind of concealed poetic word, which some might maybe call doggerel poetry, really betrays what is, what I would say, the highest art of all. It's rare to call what God does art, but if you think about it, the greatest play that has ever been worked out is this play of life, where there are what contrastive fields of darkness, alien forces, and then one who comes to save us, and that is, in fact, Christ. The greatest art of all is how God was able to go and redeem us. Paul describes what an enlightened Christian life finally looks like. A Christian's life will issue forth fruits of faith. This has always been at the heart of Lutheran teaching. While we centralize justification by grace through faith, we have always taught that as a result and fruit of that very faith, we will bring forth fruits. And Paul talks about, using three words, their nature here. He said that these rich deeds of love to our neighbor will be things that are good, right, and true. There's not time really to go and unpack what those words all mean, but what I'd like to do is to focus on the last one, true, directly as it links to his command in verse 11 of the text for today. Quote, take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. Etymologically, the word true means unconcealed. True things are not hidden, but they are seen for what they are. You can see what Paul's injunction to Christians as salt and light in the world then teaches. As redeemed children of light, we are not to hide our knowledge under a basket, but to export it to others. In a world of darkness where people often want to cover up the nature of sin, God calls upon you, as members of the church, to lovingly rub salt into the wounds of sin and to expose the sin and lies that are all around us. If the members of Christ's church cease being salt and light in the world, which is to say, if we stop indicting our own sins as well as those of our own culture, who will? That's why God calls us light and salt. Repentance and faith in Jesus Christ is the only way of truly seeing, hoping, and living. And so that is the purpose of salt and light. You only rub salt into another's wounds, in other words, preach the law, in other words, to lead them to repentance and faith in Christ. That's the purpose, not mere criticism. That is why we as Christ's body seek to be proactive witnesses about Christ our Savior. He gave up his life in the eternal domains of light in heaven to become incarnate in this dark world, that he might redeem and bring to all of us true light, and that you and I as lights might bring that light to others. You are the light of the world because of Christ. See the world through his light. Build your hope on the sure promises of Christ. Live your life as God's people, as children of light. So here's the last question that I'll leave you with. What have you done lately to speak with your life and mouths to expose what? First, the world's darkness, and then second, the saving message of Christ's gospel. Amen.